Thank you for joining us for our weekly service at East Elizabeth Baptist Church. We pray you and your family are blessed by the service. If you have any questions or if we can minister to you in any way, reach out to us at elbchurch.org.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We've gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We've gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves, our God saves. There is hope in your name, and our morning turns to songs of praise. Saves. Yes, our God saves. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We've gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves, our God saves. There is hope to songs of praise. Our God saves. Oh, our God saves. Sing it. Our God saves. Yes, our God saves. Our God saves.
I was buried beneath my shame, and who can carry that kind of weight? It was my turn till I met you.
Come on.
I was breathing the night alive, and all my failures I tried to hide. It was my turn till I met you.
So you call my name,
you call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You call my name, and I into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know.
Come on. Hey.
The old Maynard, Jesus, when I met you, oh, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
Sing, I needed rescue.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. Cause when you call my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
Creation groaning, is a new creation coming.
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst.
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of our blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves?
He does.
And does our God intend to dwell again with us? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break? open the scroll, the Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave from every people and tribe, to every nation and tongue. He has made us a kingdom and praise to God, to reign with the Son. Is He worthy? Is He worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is He worthy? Is He worthy? Is He worthy of this? He is. Is He worthy? Is He worthy? He is He worthy? Is He worthy? He is.
God, You are worthy of all blessing and honor and glory and praise and life that we can give You, God. Jesus, You fulfilled all prophecies of the Messiah. We can have assurance that You are the Messiah, the chosen one. God, and You came, David's root, and You were the Lamb that was slain, the spotless, holy, perfect Lamb died in my place. God, and You rose again. Thank You, Father. I pray that You would speak to us this Easter Sunday, Father. This resurrection celebration, God, revive in us the joy of our salvation. We love You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. It's Resurrection Sunday, and we're not yet able to gather together the way that we would like to, the way that we have grown accustomed to. And when that is allowed and when that is safe, it is going to be a glorious day when we can gather together as the church of God here at East Leesville Baptist Church. But that'll be a wonderful day, but it doesn't even begin to start to compare to the glorious day that we celebrate today, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. On that first Easter morning, life and earth and the calendar and all of history was changed forevermore when Jesus rose out of that grave to give us victory over sin, death, and the grave. And I want us to take time this morning and just let the Word of God speak and be reminded of what He suffered, be reminded of His death and His burial, and to celebrate His resurrection, and then to take from Him, I believe, some words, some commands that will carry us through these days and all the days that we will face until Jesus comes or till we go to be with Him. Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 32, I want to read to you the account of the crucifixion. The Word of God says, as they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross, Jesus' cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there, and over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him and wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." And so also the chief priest with the scribes and the elders, they mocked him saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. Though they'd already seen so many signs, they would not believe. Their hearts were hard. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now. Verse 43, if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. We know from other gospel accounts that one of those robbers recognized he was hanging beside the Messiah of the world. And he cried out to Jesus to remember him that day. And Jesus promised him that today he would be with him in paradise. What a great story on the cross. Now from the sixth hour, which was about noontime, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Many believe that he felt distant from God, that God has turned his back on him. I believe this is really Jesus crying out Psalm 22, a messianic psalm, and Jesus with all of his strength is declaring, I have fulfilled this prophecy. I am the Messiah. Some of the bystanders hearing it said, this man is calling Elijah, and one of them at once ran and took a sponge filled with it, sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Jesus died. And behold, a curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly this was the Son of God. There were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Jesus hung on the cross on that Friday, brutally enduring the physical pain and agony, the emotional pain and agony, but I believe the greatest of all was the spiritual battle that was taking place in his heart and in his spirit. He hung there for some 6 hours, from about 9 a.m. in the morning to about 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and then Jesus died. He didn't swoon. He didn't go into a coma. He didn't fall asleep. Jesus literally, physically died. Then Jesus is buried in a borrowed tomb, beginning there in verse 57. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and he wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. Jesus dies on Friday. Joseph takes his body, his dead, lifeless body, and he lays it in the tomb, and it is sealed with a great stone. The Messiah is dead. The disciples are heartbroken. Those that have followed Jesus, had trusted in him, they don't understand exactly what is happening. They fear for their very own lives because they had been with Christ. They huddle together, many of them, in the upper room, wondering if they're next. We call it Good Friday now, but it's only because of the Sunday that we celebrate today. Crucified and buried. Look what happens on Saturday, beginning there in verse 62. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priest and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, after 3 days, I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. and the last fraud will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can. This is almost humorous that man would attempt to hold Jesus in the tomb. Man cannot hold him back. Nothing can hold him back. But they wanted to try. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Jesus crucified, Jesus buried, the stone sealed, a guard, a soldier's placed before the tomb. But it doesn't stop there that they try to discredit the resurrection of Jesus. I'm going to go down real briefly to verse 11. Look what happens even after the resurrection. These same soldiers, they came while they were going. Behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priest all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers. They were bribed. They were paid off. And they told them, tell the people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. My question would be, how do you know what happened if you were asleep? Their lie doesn't even make sense with just good logic, but this was, they were so desperate to hold on to that Jesus couldn't have risen from the dead. We have to tell them it's something else. Even the lie that they make up makes no sense. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day at the writing of Matthew's gospel. Crucified, buried in a borrowed tomb, guarded by soldiers, sealed, and then tried to cover up the reality of the resurrection. The reality of the resurrection. Look there at 28 verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And the fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. Not a blow was thrown, not a strike was made. They dropped right there in the presence of just a glimpse of the messenger of the glory of God. They were like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Listen, the word of God says, he is not here, for he has risen. It changes everything. Every single thing we believe in hinges on this truth that Jesus was not there. He is risen. Yes, he is risen indeed. As he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. But on the way, look, it says, and behold, Jesus met them and said, the ESV translates it greetings. I really believe the word is better translated rejoice, because it's a command. You don't give greeting with imperative or command. Rejoice, Jesus says. And they came up and took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, listen, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. The greatest phrase in all of Scripture, he is not here. He is risen. They respond with fear and great joy. There's reverence, but uncontrollable rejoicing. They ran to bring his disciples word. They run in obedience to the angel with this great news. Jesus commands them to rejoice. May our lives be marked by the resurrected Lord's command to rejoice. They fell at his feet and they worshiped him. He is worthy of our worship. He tells them, do not fear. Go and tell my disciples where to meet me. We see the evidence of the resurrection in the scripture and in the history of the church. The disciples died preaching the gospel. Listen, if what the soldiers had said was true, if what they wanted the people to believe, the disciples would have known they had died for a lie. Some may be misled to die for a lie that they thought was the truth, but not to die for a lie they knew to be a lie. They died because they knew Jesus had been resurrected, and they had the hope of the resurrection as well, because not even death could rob them of being in the control and in the possession of their mighty God. That is the power of the resurrection, is we need not fear death, because death cannot take us. It just transfers us to our greater reward, to our ultimate home. We need not fear death. Because of the resurrection, James died by the sword because he knew the power of the resurrection. Peter died after watching his wife be crucified. He was crucified upside down because he knew the power of the resurrection. The evidence is in the disciples. The evidence is in the empty tomb. The evidence is in the thousands of years since we still declare the glorious gospel of our Christ Jesus, crucified, buried, resurrected. The evidence and the power is there. He is risen. Paul gives a great account in his letter to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Listen to the scripture. I want you to hear more from the Word of God than from any preacher this morning. Look what God's word says. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you. Unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom who are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. Go down to verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, listen, without the resurrection, this is who we are. Your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Then those who have died, who have fallen asleep in Christ, have perished. They are doomed forever. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Listen, if there's no resurrection, there's no hope. But listen to verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He is not here. He is risen. He is risen indeed. That's the message. There is not much of anything to be added to that. Is the great gospel message that Jesus died, that he was buried, and he has risen again. This is our hope. This is our steadfastness. This is our joy. This is our gospel, that Jesus died for the sins of all the world, that he was buried, but he overcame sin, death, and the grave through his glorious resurrection, and we can receive that unto ourselves by receiving him as our Savior. Listen, this is a glorious story. It's incredible news. It's the best news ever. but it's got to be applied personally. My grandparents were believers. They're in heaven with Jesus now. I believe that with all my heart. Didn't save me. My dad's a pastor. My mom's a woman of God. I am grateful they're still living. I pray they live for decades more, but they will be with Jesus in heaven. It does not save me. I am saved. I'm a child of God because on the June the 14th, 1981, I knelt my little 8-year-old knees by a closet door, and as a little sinful 8-year-old boy, I cried out to Jesus to save me. I confessed Him as Lord, and I trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's why I will see heaven, because of what Jesus did applied personally to my life. I'm grateful my grandparents were saved. It helped pave the path for me to understand and know the gospel. I'm incredibly grateful for godly parents. It made it easy for me to hear and see and respond to the gospel. But it was only when I cried out from my heart, understanding my sinfulness and crying on the name of Jesus, that I received that salvation. It's got to be personal. That's why Paul wrote in Romans 10, verse 9, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised you from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 13. That's my takeaway. My first takeaway for this message is this is a glorious story. It's the greatest news ever, but it will not help you until you receive it yourself. If you've not been saved, you really have nothing to celebrate this day except the hope is there and the price has been paid if you will just call out to Jesus. And the second takeaway is this. Let us remember the commands of Jesus in Matthew 28. Now in the context, it's for these ladies that he saw on their way to tell the disciples. But as I studied these commands, I believe we would do well to follow these commands today. In verses 9 and 10 of chapter 28, he gives them several commands, and they are this. The first one was rejoice. Oh, we ought to rejoice. Paul said, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice always is what Paul told us. We ought to be the happiest, most rejoiceful people in all the world on this day and on every day as we realize that we have been bought with a price, that we have been sealed as children of God. We ought to be filled with joy. His command was to rejoice. Verse 10, there was another command he shared with the ladies. He said what? He said, do not be afraid. It was kind of unusual. It was a new experience to have seen one you cared about so much dead, and now he's standing alive right in front of you. Jesus needed to tell them, hey, don't be afraid. I believe with all my heart, different context, but Jesus would say to us, do not be afraid. Because of the very resurrection, we have reason not to be afraid, no matter our circumstances. And then the final command I want you to see, really two commands put together. He said, go and tell. Go and tell. In light of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, I believe we should rejoice in our confidence that He has us and nothing can take us away from Him. Even death itself, that might be our greatest enemy, all death can do to the child of God is usher us into His kingdom and our reward. Rejoice, church. Rejoice. Jesus is alive. The second command, do not be afraid. We have nothing to fear. True love, cast out all fear. Turn our eyes upon Jesus. He is alive. We can trust Him. Then finally, our mission has not changed whatsoever. Go and tell that Jesus saves. that Jesus is alive and that Jesus is coming again. But as long as a man, a woman, a boy, or girl has breath, they can be saved. Go and tell this glorious story. How could we keep it to ourselves when we have this great truth? Oh, church, rejoice. Do not be afraid. Go and tell. Why? Because Jesus died. Jesus was buried. But Jesus rose again. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he intercedes for us. And there is a day coming where he will gather us to be with him. And that will be a glorious day. But until then, may we, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with all that is in us, because of this glorious story, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, may we love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. May we love people, our neighbor, as ourselves. May we seek the lost, because every soul is precious to our God. And may we go about the day-to-day business of making disciples, because he is worthy, and this is our task. Rejoice. Do not fear. Go and tell. Lord Jesus, we pray on this Resurrection Sunday, as we are reminded of this glorious story that is the very foundation of our faith, that it will empower us more than ever to be about the business of letting all the world know that our God saves. For those of us that have already received you as our Lord and Savior, may we rejoice, may we not fear, may we go and tell this glorious gospel. But for those that have not yet received you personally, Lord, I pray before they go to sleep tonight, that they would reach out to someone they know that loves Christ, and that they'd be able to share with them how they might be saved. Oh Lord, just between you and them, that in their heart you would lead them to confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead, and Lord, according to your word, they would be saved. And Lord, if that happens, may they share it with us so that we can come alongside of them and walk with them together to follow Jesus. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time each year where we can pay attention a little more closely to this glorious truth that our Jesus is alive. But Lord, I pray that we not walk away from a service like this and lose the glory of that truth, but that we would carry it all the days that lie ahead, that the world may know our Savior lives. He is risen from the dead. Jesus is alive. To God be the glory. Use us to show that glorious truth to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You call me from the grave by name. You call me out of all my shame. I see the old has passed away, the new has come. Now I have resurrection power, living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom, and I'm no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. I'm dressed in your royalty. Your Holy Spirit lives in me. And I see my past has been redeemed. Now I have resurrection power, living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. Now I'm no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. My chains are gone. Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. Hallelujah. And I have resurrection power. No longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. Now I have resurrection power, living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us for our weekly service at East Sizzle Baptist Church. Again, if you have any questions about the message or a personal relationship with Jesus, feel free to reach out to us at elbchurch.org.